open with me to Hebrews chapter 11, and then also Genesis chapter 4. And if that sounds familiar to you from 2 weeks ago, it is. It is. That's exactly what we talked about 2 weeks ago, the same scriptures. I heard a pastor one time, it's a story, a pastor who preached on the same passage of scripture for 6 months in a row. 6 months in a row. And someone finally came to him and said, "You've been preaching on the same passage of scripture for 6 months. When are we going to move on to something else?" The congregant said that to the pastor. The pastor said, "As soon as you get a hold of this, we'll move on to something new." I thought that was good. I'm not going to do that for the next 6 months, Lord willing. But as the Lord wills, we're going to spend another week talking about Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, and then Genesis chapter 4. All right, so Hebrews 11, verse 4. Are you there? Say, "I'm there." All right, say, "Let's go." Hebrews 11, 4. "By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead." All right, now turn with me back to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. Beginning right before verse 3. "Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it.' Now Cain said to his brother Abel, 'Let's go out to the field.' And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. And then the Lord said to Cain, 'Where is your brother Abel?' 'I don't know,' he replied. 'Am I my brother's keeper?'" Father, we thank you so much for this word that you have given us today. We pray so much, God, we pray, God, so that we may have ears that hear and eyes that see and hearts that are ready to receive that which you have for us. Lord, we thank you for this time that we get to spend in your word today. May you get all the glory from it as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're in a series called Authentic. How do we live authentically as followers of Christ? Do we just say that we are followers of Christ? Or do we live it in such a way that not only that we, but others see it as well in us? And 2 weeks ago, I talked about that we must view not only scriptures, but what comes our way in life through the eyes of faith. Through the eyes of faith. For when we don't, we end up looking at things, situations, circumstances, our own life, through the eyes of our own interpretation. And that becomes the bait of Satan, which in one way would lead us to offense. Our perspective matters. I don't mean your opinion. Your opinions matter. That's what I'm talking about today. But when I say perspective, I mean what perspective it is that we have. That's what matters. Do we operate in the perspective of faith, or are there times where we slip into the perspective of our own interpretation? And God begins to ask us, "Why are you angry? Do you have any right to be angry?" By the way, if we hear that, it's basically, God's telling us that we have the wrong interpretation, the wrong perspective in that moment. Now, I started writing a portion of this message, with the intention of adding it into my previous one, but for some reason it ended up in a separate file on my computer. I'm not sure how that happened. But praise the Lord, as I came across it this 2 weeks ago, and I was thinking about what I was going to talk about today, "God, what is it you want me to talk about?" I was asking him, I was saying, "God, do you want me to talk about this more, or do you want me to talk about the next thing?" And as I was thinking about that, as I was pondering it, God brought one of the brothers here in the congregation to me and said, "Hey, are we going to talk about this?" This meaning what I'm going to talk about today. And I said, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for confirming what it was I was. Thank you for answering my question. I mean, you know, God can speak to us directly, but many times he speaks to us through others. Amen? And we need to be able to receive that, even if at times it ends up being a word of correction. Yay, yippee, correction. Yippee. We all need it, that's right. So last time I talked about offense. Today we're going to talk about offenders. Offenders. That's the title of the message today is offenders. I'm going to give you a few perspectives on those who offend, whether they be in the church, in the body of Christ, or an unbeliever, as it can become hard for us to see these offenders from any other perspective when all that we see them through is the eyes of offense. You know, another way to refer to these offenders, maybe a nicer way to say it, fruit testers. Fruit testers. That's the second title of the message today is fruit testers. So if you don't like offenders, just go with fruit testers, okay? But I want you to know that every single one of us has offended, may be currently offending, or will offend in the future. So nobody is outside of this, okay? We all have the tendency to do it. We've all done it, and probably we will continue to do it, but hopefully less and less as time goes on. And so, like I said, I want to talk about a couple perspectives. Number one today, offense causes offense. In other words, hurt people. Thank you. And so it's important to recognize the person who is offending others may have been the first one who received the offense. Doesn't make it right, their response, but it's important to consider that, to remember that maybe the person who you're receiving offense from was offended first. Cain got offended that the Lord didn't look with favor on his offering. He got hurt. My interpretation of putting words in his mouth, him saying, well, I would have no problem of doing what's right if it wasn't for my brother over there, Mr. Goody Two-Shoe, does everything right. If he wasn't here, I'd have a much easier time following you, Lord. It'd make it a lot easier. And Abel was unknowingly a fruit tester. For us today, I could follow God wholeheartedly if I didn't have to deal with that person. I'm patient with all these other people in this room, but that one person over there, oh, it makes me want to lose my Christianity. Like Pastor Rick DeVoe says, I'm mostly Christian. I'm mostly Christian. We laugh because we can relate to that. But for Cain, instead of belonging to God and trusting that God could take it and use it in some way for good, listening to what it was that God revealed to him, if you will do what's right, you'll be accepted, like your brother, Mr. Goody Two-Shoe. Okay? No, instead of that, Cain let the offense turn to anger that became a foothold for the enemy to exploit and who he eventually gave into. And that's what we read in 1 John 3 and verse 12. It says, do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Why does the world hate Christians? Because God's righteousness in us accentuates the wickedness in them. Come on, that's good. That wasn't from me, that was the Lord. Okay? What makes our actions evil? Our actions become evil when offense becomes our perspective. And then the one who gets offended responds in an offensive way back. I used to work at Scott's Lawn Service. There was a guy that was quitting, and the manager right in front of me was telling this guy who was quitting, I think you are the best employee this company has ever had, right in front of me. Okay, now let me just get a set of perspective here. All these people are coming. They're getting hired, they're getting trained, and then they quit because the work is too hard. Meanwhile, I'm the one who's sticking it out. I'm the one who continues to stay there. Every time somebody leaves, I got to pick up the slack for them. Okay? I'm mostly Christian. Even at that point. And so the words that came out of my mouth were, well, I'm glad you're leaving because I get your truck. That's what I said, if you can believe that. Yeah. Without thinking about it. Like I said, I'm mostly Christian. Listen, that's how they made me feel. My feelings are justified, right? Wrong. Feelings, we have a choice. Feelings are not what dictate our actions unless we allow them to do that. Feelings are meant to be felt, but not to be followed. Not to be followed. God has given us feelings so that we can have a passion for going after Him, for telling other people about Him, for getting an indignant, righteous anger toward the things that are not happening that are according to His will. You see these things that are happening. So the feeling of offense can certainly lead one to evil actions. That certainly happens. But that's not the only way that someone can be offended. Years ago, I went through the Teen Challenge curriculum in a small group environment. They had it, if you weren't part of the resident program, or you weren't a client of theirs, you could actually go through it. They had the curriculum available to people that then would lead it like in a small group environment. And so I went through the Teen Challenge curriculum in a small group environment. And one of the things that I remember them talking about was that they taught that a child can grow up on the outside and become an adult, but if they don't grow up in a stable, loving, secure environment, then they don't grow up on the inside. And the result is a bunch of adults wandering around acting like children. Does that happen in our day-to-day? Yeah. Can we also act like children from time to time? Yeah. Yeah. And so that's different, though. That's different, though, than what Jesus said about unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. That's not the same context there, okay? That's about having a childlike faith. He said it, and I believe it. That's it. Where do we get off as adults saying, like, well, I can be skeptical about this, or I'm going to be more speculative, or I don't really know. Did God really say, you know, like we start asking those questions, that we would have a childlike faith? That's what Jesus is talking about there. But rather, this is more in line with what I'm talking about today, is 1 Corinthians 13, when Paul said, when I was young, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child, I talked like a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Offense can cause offense. But there are kinds of offense other than just feeling offended, like a child missing out on something that was meant to be a part of their upbringing. An offense toward that child that they didn't take offense to, they just didn't know, right? But it was an offense toward them. Or perhaps it was an abuse that child went through that was never processed. It was kept on the inside for like 10 years. That's my testimony. I was sexually abused at 13 years old. I didn't tell anybody about it till I was 23. 10 years I allowed that to fester in my heart, producing behaviors that were not pleasing to the Lord. Here's a point to remember about that first perspective. What we find offensive about another may be coming from the person who was offended or hurt first. Do we consider that in the moment when we're tempted and we do take on offense? Perhaps we should begin to. Again, it doesn't make what the offender is doing is right. Cain got upset about the offering not being accepted. If he would have listened to the Lord and his revelation, if he would have done what is right, then that wouldn't have happened. But it does help us to get a different perspective on the one offending, rather than leaving us to our own interpretation, looking through the eyes of faith, not looking through the eyes of faith. So number one, offense can cause offense. Number two, offenders can have blind spots. Offenders can have blind spots, or possibly an area of their heart that is not surrendered to Jesus. It's probably surrendered, just not surrendered to Jesus. And sometimes when that spot gets touched, the offender begins testing the fruit. And the thing about blind spots is that most times it takes someone else to point it out to us. That's why they're called blind spots, because we don't see them. Now in our cars today, or the newer cars, not our cars, but some cars that are newer today, they have a little light that turns on in your rearview mirror when you have a car in your blind spot, right? Before you had to look and be like, is there anybody over there before you do that? Okay? Because why? Because there are blind spots. When I had my first motorcycle, I was having to sell my first motorcycle because we were getting ready to buy a house that we were going to put a deposit on, and we had to have $1,500 to put a deposit on this house. And I've said before, I had to make the decision, the hard decision between motorcycle or house. Motorcycle or house. Ah, this is a hard one. But I did decide, okay, I need to put the motorcycle, that kind of fun away, to think about family and what it is that we're supposed to be doing. And so I made a decision, I'm going to sell my motorcycle. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to sell it. So I start telling people, hey, I'm going to sell my motorcycle. Do you want my motorcycle? My friends, my coworkers, hey, do you want to buy my motorcycle? My intentions were good. I wanted to sell it so that we had a deposit for our house. My friends took it kind of an offensive way, though, because they felt like I was pushing it on them. I was pressuring them because they were my friends. I was pressuring them to buy the bike from me. And they didn't want to be around me in that season of my life. Would you just buy my bike, please? Somebody, please buy my bike. Somebody. My blind spot, I was not seeing that my friends were feeling pressured to buy my bike because they were my friends. But also, I was taking matters into my own hands rather than trusting that God would provide for what we needed. How often do we do that? How often do we take matters into our own hands? Sometimes offense is caused by our blind spots. Now, the end of that story, none of my friends bought my bike. But somebody else who I didn't even know not only bought my bike, but paid me full asking price for it. Didn't even have to haggle with him about it. Wow. God provides in his own way and in his own time, and I need to trust him in that, as do we all. Sometimes the area that's not surrendered in our life, the blind spot, is an area of pride. Pride. I'm really good at what I do, maybe. Or, this is just the way that I am. This is my identity. And so nothing you say or do is going to change that. I had a manager at the trucking and transportation company that I worked for, that he was a natural leader. He had a strong personality, and he came across kind of brash, kind of harsh, kind of rude. Okay, not kind of, take kind of out of there. He came across as brash, harsh, and rude. That's how he came across. Okay? But he was our manager. And this time I did the right thing. I didn't complain, but I had some coworkers that took issue with the way that he was managing our team. And I don't know if they talked to him about it at all or not, but they went to HR multiple times. This guy got called into HR multiple times. And one of the times I heard him say, that's just the way I am. This is who I am. Stop trying to change me. Rather than that being an area of growth for him and for his team, it caused issues. And as far as I know, he ended up resigning. One way or the other, he was gone. So either HR fired him or asked him to resign or whatever. But to go somewhere else, rather than considering that maybe there was a change that needed to be made, something that could have changed in his heart. And here's a truth that's not easy. Offense needs to get talked about. Because we tend to be passive-aggressive people, we tend to share more easily with who we're upset with others than with the person themselves, right? And it helps us to feel better in the moment because we got it off our chest. I vented to you, now I feel better. Until the next time we see that person. The next time they do something that's offensive to us. And then it's all over again. Let me tell you what he did now. Let me tell you what she said. Like, yeah, and it continues on like that. Offense becomes a hindrance to moving forward with the Lord and unity in the body of Christ. Move in unity becomes a hindrance to that. And Satan knows this, guys. And he exploits it in the church as well as in our lives. And so it needs to be brought to the light. It needs to be brought to the light for that reason, but also so that we avoid that cycle of hurt and offense that happens over and over and over again. Proverbs 17 and verse 9. In the NILT translation, the NILT. Love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends. We dwell on it when it isn't ever dealt with. Blind spots are something that we can all have in our lives, or they could be something that we develop along the way, something that gets conditioned into us as a result of a coworker that's really difficult to deal with, or maybe a friend or a family member that we do life with. But it can also, number three, come from a schedule that has no room for anything else. Having a schedule that has no room for anything else. That person may be accomplishing a lot of great work, but because they have no downtime, from pillow to pillow, all they do is work, 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 work. They lack what we all need. Refreshing. Refreshing. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. That doesn't sound very productive to me. Think about all the things I could be doing when I'm laying down here in the field or I'm walking along cool waters. I'm not getting anything done. Psalm 116, verse 7. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. I don't have time to rest. What are you talking about? I got stuff to do. This is important stuff. I'm the pastor of this church. I got a lot of important stuff to do for people. Lord, forgive me for ever even thinking those kind of thoughts. Is that your experience in life too? Then your life may not be open to the refreshing that God wants to bring regularly to you. With all of these, it's important to understand where offense is coming from. Just like it's easy to judge a person by their behavior. Oh, they dress like that, they must be. Oh, they do that, they must be. Just like it's easy to judge people like that, it's easy to judge an offender by their offending. And we can sit on either side of the fence for this. The one receiving the offense or the one dealing out the offense. But the goal is we don't want to do either. Thank you for that, right? One of them, you agrees with me. Okay. We don't want to live in offense. And we don't want to be the one causing offense. So what do? How do we, as authentic followers of Christ, do things differently? Here's what God put on my heart to share previously that was in my notes that got in a different file and I found it. Praise the Lord. If how we live causes offense in others, it doesn't mean that we need to leave our business, our church, our home, or that others need to. Let me show you the door. The door, right? But rather, we need to do what King David did. You heard of WWJD? What would Jesus do? We're going to talk about WWKDD today. What would King David do? All right, just so you guys know, King David was a man after God's own heart. So it's kind of important to think about what he says as well. And obviously it's in the Word, so it's what God says through him. Psalm 139, verse 23. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That word offensive there in the King James, the Kijiv version, is wicked. And in the Hebrew, the original Hebrew language, it's hurtful. See if there be any offensive or wicked or hurtful way in me. And that word in the Hebrew, a wicked or hurtful way that comes from a wicked habit. A wicked habit, something that we do. Maybe it's a blind spot. Wouldn't you like to know, though, if there is a hurtful way in you? Sometimes people are brave and they can tell us those kind of things. Sometimes people call that out in us, and again, yippee, correction, right? Yes, we like that, yippee, correction. But many times they don't. But, you know, if God knows us inside and out, he knows all of our days, he knows exactly how he made us, he knows what it is that we're going to do before we do it, who better to ask than him? Search my heart. Search my heart. Search me. I think of, like, if you got a knock at the door, and you go to the door, and there's some police officers standing there at your door, and they say, we have a search warrant for your house. something to search your house for. You have a choice right there in that moment. Not always a good choice we would make. Yes. We can say, oh, sure, come on in. Or we can say no and wait for the battering ram to bust down your door, right? Okay. Search me. It's like opening the door to your house or the door to your heart and saying, yes, please, I give you permission, Lord. Come on in. Come on in. Okay? Come into every corner of my heart. Test me. Test me. I think about this as like giving him permission. Like some houses, when they're having some kind of work done on it, they cover up all the furniture with sheets. Test me. Uncover the things in my house. I give you permission, Lord, not only to come in, but to uncover the things in my house that are covered up. That just don't pay attention to that couch over there. Don't pay attention to the man behind the blue curtain, okay? Don't pay attention to that. No, come on over. Come on over and open this up. Open it up. Open it up. I give you permission to do that. Now you all saw what was behind the curtain. I give you permission to do that. Search me. Come in. Test me. Look, uncover everything. I give you permission to do that. See if there is an offensive way in me. See in me. Show me those things underneath that curtain that need to be exposed. Show me those things. I want to see those things. I don't want to see those things. Never mind. No, I do want to see those things. I want to see those things because I don't want there to be anything between me and him. I want to be able to experience transformation. I want to be able to walk in unity. I want to be able to reach the community because I believe in this stuff. I believe in this. Search me, test me, see me, see in me. Show me those things that hopefully what's produced is an attitude of repentance, godly sorrow. Oh God, I'm so sorry. I give you permission to go ahead and look at it all. God, you reveal it to me. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. You know what? He does. He does. In my opinion, he shouldn't, but he does. Thank you, Lord. Search me, test me, see in me, and then lead me. Once those things are revealed and dealt with, we can follow Jesus. We can follow him. I tell the MOVE students, the sixth graders on Wednesday nights, they have four criteria. And one of them is to be teachable. And I say, you can't be a leader if you're not teachable, right? How can we lead someone else to Jesus if we're not teachable ourselves? Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12, if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. We need to regularly hold ourselves up to the word of God. Hebrews 4:12 says, is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. For his word alone is able to judge the deepest parts of our soul and to reveal the thoughts and the attitudes of our hearts. Are you willing to let God freely search all of you, all of your heart, all of your mind? Are you willing to receive what he says? Well, maybe sometimes. Correction, yippee. It's not always corrective. Sometimes it's training. Sometimes it's teaching. And yes, sometimes it's rebuking. But it's all good. It's all good. We don't want offensive ways in us that lead us to sin, and we don't want to have offense to last between each other, especially in the body of Christ. How are we any different than those out there? How do we set an example of how God has transformed our lives? How we can move together in unity if we allow this to get in the way? And so we must ask God to search our hearts and reveal those things that are in us, that God can bring the transformation. God can bring the transformation. If you look at verses in Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24 is what I read earlier. You look at the verses right before it, you will see David conveying his disgust toward the enemies of God, even using the word hate. I hate them. I consider them my enemies. And yet, before he ends the psalm, he tempers what he just said with asking God to search him. Why? Because even if we start out with good intentions about what hating what is evil and what is wrong, it can make us into an offender if we aren't asking God to search us. How many things in life, even when we're going after the Lord, even when we're trying to do what's right, even when we hate the sin, God still loves the sinner. Do we? Search, test, see, and lead. I like to believe this is a regular practice for King David. And for those of us who say that we follow Christ Jesus, it should be a regular practice for us too. Here's the main point today. Authentic followers ask God to search them and search them regularly. You ask him to heal your body. You ask him to give you wisdom. You ask him for help and for guidance. You ask him to give you good things. Why wouldn't you ask him to search you? Why wouldn't you throw open the door of your heart to him? Why wouldn't you invite him in? Why wouldn't you allow him to point out those things that get in the way of our relationship with him and our relationship with one another? Love the way you're shouting today. It's just another bell ringer of a message today. But as we wrap up today, would you stand with me? We're going to take the next few minutes to ask God to search us. As I pray, I just want you to open the door of your heart to him. Think of Revelation 3, verse 9 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and we will eat together." Will you open the door of your heart today to him? Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that you are, as we sang earlier, good. You are good, Lord. But I confess that not everything in me is good. Especially those areas where maybe I've shut the door of your spirit to work. Maybe I didn't mean to shut the door. Maybe it got shut through some of the thoughts, some of the feelings, some of the actions that I've done. Lord, I ask you today, would you search me today and know my heart? God, I open the door to you today. You can look at it all, Lord. Look at it all today. God, I ask that you would test me today. Uncover those things that need to be uncovered. That furniture that's trying to cover up, we're trying to cover up that dirty spot on that couch because of that sheet that's on top of it. I give you permission to take the covers off today. Take the sheets off today. Give you permission, Lord. And now, Lord, would you see if there's any offensive way in me? Would you see if there is any wicked way in me that I'm holding on to, that I'm covering up, that I'm not bringing into the light, that I'm not confessing? See if there's any wicked way, any hurtful way in me. Is there a hurtful habit, a wicked habit that I'm practicing that I may not even realize? Maybe I have a blind spot. See if there's any wicked way. If he shows you something, just repent of it. repent of it. Father, I'm sorry. Sorry for sometimes letting the work of the ministry of running the church and taking care of the stuff in the church gets in the way of people. God, forgive me. Forgive me for that, Lord. Help me. Help me, Lord. And then lead. God, would you lead us? Would you lead us in the way everlasting? In your ways, God, would you lead us through those things that get in the way? Would you lead us through that stuff? Lord, that nothing would stand between us and you. That our hearts would be open to you. God, that you would replace stony, stubborn hearts with tender hearts that are responsive to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you still see in us things that reflect you, things that you put in us for our purposes that you have called us to do. Thank you, Lord, that you know every one of our days before every one of them came to be. So no matter what it is that we have done, Lord, that you still know the calling that you have on our life, the purpose that you have on our life. And it's not too late. It's not too late to live in a transformed life. It's not too late to live in unity with one another. It's not too late to reach others, to lead others to Jesus Christ. It's not too late. Thank you, God, for that assurance of pardon, that when we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord.